Odyssey celebrates Veterans Day, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
Money Movers provides investors with real-time analysis of the stories and the people attracting the attention of markets each day. I'm Carl Quintanilla.
And I'm Sarah Eisen. We'll cover the breaking news and numbers driving stocks and sectors, helping you make critical decisions. Plus, we'll speak with the CEOs, newsmakers, and political leaders playing a role in how your money is moving.
Listen to CNBC's Money Movers free on the Odyssey app.
All right, hour number two of the huddle. Here we go. Big game tonight for the Vikings, by the way. Let's start there, Matt. Vikings, Colts, U.S. Bank Stadium, Sunday Night Football. It feels like it's been forever since we've watched the Vikings play because they were in L.A. a few weeks ago. The sky is falling compared to according to all Vikings fans. Let's start. I want to start first with the offensive line because obviously missing Christian Darrisaw is a huge deal. They go out, they make a trade for Cam
Robinson.
Thank you. And your headline is basically, well, you got him, but maybe he's not that good after all.
Well, no, I would say with Cam Robinson that it was about the best thing that they could have done to fill in for Christian Darrisaw. The issue with trying to replace someone like Christian Darrisaw is that you can't.
Yeah.
That is a player, and they signed him to a huge extension this offseason. That's a player that when you get them, you want to keep them for 10 years. Never let them go. Just always have this guy at left tackle. And his impact has been enormous. They've played some of the best pass rushers in the league. I think he just allowed his 10th pressure of the season against the Rams, which is very, very few. Like one or two times a game being beaten is amazing for a left tackle considering who they play against. So they go out and get Cam Robinson, who has had a pretty decent career. He's been an average player for the most part as a pass protector and has been a little above average in his most recent years as he kind of developed. He was a former second-round draft pick. The big difference is in the run blocking. Christian Darrisaw is an incredible run blocker. That's just not Cam Robinson. He's more of a less mobile type of guy who's going to be good against good quality pass rushers, might need a little more help than Christian Darrisaw. Because that's the other thing, is that Darrisaw doesn't need any help. He doesn't need tight ends over there. He doesn't need running backs chipping. So you can just do whatever you want to help anybody else on the line. Cam Robinson is a human. He has flaws. I don't think Christian Darrisaw had too many.
Right.
So it won't be the same. But also, this move allows them to stay on track. If it was Darrisaw going out and they were trying to shuffle and put a guard over a tackle or something like that, or play a sixth-round rookie that they have, Walter Rouse, I think you could end up in pretty serious trouble, especially since Darnold does hang out of the ball too long at times. But at least with Robinson, you could keep your passing game 95% the same. It's just the running is going to have to be adjusted.
Dalton Reisner also gets elevated. It sounds like is he going to play today?
Maybe. They have played a little bit coy on this.
Yeah.
The right guard situation, shockingly to Vikings fans, has not been good. It hasn't been good since I moved here in 2016.
Since I moved here in 2007, it hasn't been good.
Honestly, Steve Hutchinson might be the last great guard. Joe Berger was pretty good at the spot, but there have been very few good guards in Minnesota. And Ed Ingram, second-round draft pick in 2022, has been given all the opportunity in the world. But if you look at the numbers, quarterback pressures, grades, he's one of the poorest players at his position in the league. So Dalton Reisner has been around for a while in the league. He's been an above-average pass protector. I think there's a decent chance that they want to replace Ingram. I just don't know if it happens tonight, if you already have another left tackle going in, which I think is going to happen. I think Robinson's going to play right away. I don't know that for sure. Kevin O'Connell wouldn't say. When we asked him, he said, we've got a plan. There could be a Cam Robinson plays half the snaps and maybe David Questenberry plays the other half. It's moving parts now. It's not in the worst way. We've seen it go moving parts in the worst way. It's manageable, but it will take some adjustments there. I do think it could be a big gain if they could get Reisner at right guard and not Ingram anymore, because they play tonight one of the best defensive tackles in the league, DeForest Buckner. And in previous years, when they have played good defensive tackles, they have gotten squished.
The Colts are 4-4, middle of the road. They've had their ups or downs. Mm-hmm. Is Anthony Richardson back tonight?
No, they're going to start Joe Flacco. Yeah,
Joe Flacco.
Yes, he's still around. He is still in the National Football League. He will be starting tonight. Anthony Richardson was benched after going 10-for-32 and tapping out of the game, if you saw that.
Yeah, he did. That's what I was reading. Yeah. He took himself out?
Yes, he took himself
out. Can I get your thoughts on that, by the way, both of you? I understand that from what people have been saying, well, the guy that he was, you know, underneath or something was like 300-plus pounds. So, yeah, he's going to be exhausted. I guess, what's your take on that? Like, you're a football player, so you should be built for that.
It was, I think, just inexperience on his part.
Got it.
There are some ways to catch a break. If you need to call a timeout there, or if you need to check to a handoff there, or something to catch your breath. Or even if you do that, which you should never do that. As a quarterback, you can't just be checking yourself out of the game. That's just the one position where you can't.
He checked himself out of the game,
yes.
Or if you do that, don't make it public that you're tired.
That was the other,
he said he's tired. The quote was, tired, ain't going to lie.
Yeah, that was the problem, is that he...
It's a lot of running I did right there.
That drive, it was insane, like how much he had run, and he probably had nothing left at that point. But you got to find a way, or you got to call a timeout.
But what is your compete level? If you're taking yourself out of the game, and as a coach and management, if I'm investing in this guy who's young, and this is your listen, I don't care what you did, good or bad. If you are taking yourself out of a game, I am furious. Unless you're hurt, because Tua Tagovailoa is in there, and he's had 150 concussions, but he's going back in. That may not be the right move.
I'm not sure that's the right.
But my point is, you have a compete level that you have, and that in the game. And if you're taking yourself out, you don't have it.
Yeah, I mean, so with Richardson, the thing is that I think he is overall handled himself pretty well through the start of his career. But he was one of the youngest players in the league in the draft 2 years ago. And then he had a serious shoulder injury. Mm-hmm. He's just played very, very little football in his career at this level. And they should have been developing him. That was my biggest issue, is you should be developing him behind Joe Flacco, because he was a very raw prospect coming into the league. He was someone that everyone said, you need to develop this player. And you need to sit him on the bench behind a veteran quarterback like Mahomes, like Aaron Rodgers, and Jordan Love, and then give him time to figure out what this league is all about. They didn't do that because they're the Colts, and they're one of the worst organizations in football, and they just said, go figure it out. And no surprise that he does something that's kind of immature, or maybe just goes against – I mean, overall, is it the most destructive thing that's ever happened or whatever? I mean, the guy didn't commit a crime. He just took himself out of a game when he felt like he couldn't stand because he was so exhausted. I get that.
And call a timeout. You're right. To your
call
point,
a timeout.
Call
right.
a timeout.
But this happens all over the place in the NFL, where you have these young quarterbacks that just get thrown in that need development, and then they do stuff like this. They throw bad interceptions. They take too many sacks. They get injured, and then we go, bust. I mean, Sam Darnold is such a great example.
Yes.
The seeing ghosts thing that's carried with him for all this time, and how poorly he played in New York. Clearly, we know Sam Darnold is a pretty good quarterback now, but it took him time. They threw him in at 20 years old. Same deal with Richardson. Anthony Richardson is actually the same age as the guy who's projected to be the top quarterback in the draft next year.
Next year.
And he's already been in the league for a couple years. So, I think it was egregious that he did that, and there were better options. Also, why don't you just drag your leg a little to the sideline? That's right. Say
Do
after
something.
The game. Right. But I don't think that's his personality. I think he's kind of a young, earnest type of guy who just said what was going on, and he shouldn't have. And it's going to follow him for sure. But I also think that they caused this environment that has a guy not succeeding as the quarterback, struggling to throw the ball. I think if the Packers had put in Jordan Love 3 years ago as a rookie, he had huge problems throwing the ball coming out, and now he's a very good quarterback.
I've said on this show many, many times, I don't know why you would ever start a rookie quarterback in the NFL.
I know.
The statistically, it fails so much more often than it succeeds. I mean, Jaden Daniels is having a great year. Caleb Williams, pretty good. Could be better.
Up and down.
Yeah. I mean, the idea that you get, and it's every year I bang my head against the table with this, Matt, that every single year we take the, oh, this guy's going to be, he's the best one. Trevor Lawrence, man, he is a man. How good has that gone in Jacksonville? Up and down, right? I don't know why you would ever, and that's why when J.J. McCarthy got hurt this year and Darnold came in, I was screaming. I'm like, listen, everybody just relax.
Yeah.
Because
it's gonna be okay.
This could end up being the best thing that ever happened for J.J. McCarthy's career.
Right, because there wouldn't, and I mean, there just wouldn't be that constant conversation. When's he going to come in? There wouldn't be the pressure there. I think it's always case to case. But when you think about Jaden Daniels and Bo Nix, who are both having good seasons as rookies, they are 24 years old. If you went back in Jaden Daniels' career in college and looked at where he was at the same age as Anthony Richardson, he was at Arizona State and he couldn't throw the ball at all. And he developed. I mean, my gosh, when you have athletes that are of this talent, they can develop, they can improve. But if you put them in over their head, if they get hurt, they get setbacks, it's no surprise. I mean, Anthony Richardson's injury was a shoulder injury. So now he's not throwing the ball as well as he was last year. Big surprise, right? And when they had Flacco, who was in the playoffs last year, why not just play Flacco as your starting quarterback this season, redshirt Richardson for the long term? But their owner is crazy. They've got a lot of veteran players. The shiny toy. And when you watch, I'm sure when you watch the guy in practice, you're like, look, the guy's a freak.
Yeah.
So he needs to be in the game. But I think that they jumped the gun there with someone who clearly should have been more of a development project. This is also, for tonight, worse for the Vikings that he's not playing.
Because Flacco's
experience.
He's experienced, yeah.
He's not going to be intimidated by US Bank Stadium. Nope. He's not going to be shocked at blitzes.
Right. You're right. Looking at the last few weeks, obviously Vikings they're on a two-game skid here. And I was trying to look at Sam Darnold and what he's done. And because everyone's like, oh, Sam Darnold's not it. We got to trade for Matt Stafford and all this ridiculousness. Should we break? All right. So let's talk about that next, because I actually think, and you can tell me if I'm wrong or not, but I actually think the last 2 weeks were significantly better for Sam Darnold as the team has gone down. We'll talk about that next. You're listening to the Vikings-Colts tonight at U.S. Bank Stadium. 7:20, I believe, is kickoff. Vikings on a two-game losing skid after losing to Detroit and the Rams. A two-game skid, though, Matt, where Sam Darnold's stat line is actually pretty darn good.
Mm-hmm.
22 of 27 against Detroit, completion percentage of 81. 18 of 25 against L.A., completion percentage of 72. He's got three touchdowns and one interception in that time. Yet people are saying, oh, Sam Darnold's back to where this is Sam Darnold's. Why? He's playing fine.
Yeah,
this is not on him.
I mean, the last two games, Sam Darnold has played absolutely well enough to win.
Yes.
He's not going to be the best quarterback in the NFL. There's going to be some shortcomings. If he gets pressured a lot, there might be some mistakes. There might be a read that he doesn't make and tries to fit the ball into somewhere where he can't. He is going to take sacks. Like, that's a part of who he's always been, is some turnovers, some sacks. But when you look at the accumulation of how he played, and even especially these last two games, I think he's been really terrific. It was the fact that the Lions and the Rams figured out how to keep him off the field, which means keeping Justin Jefferson off the field. Mm-hmm. I did an article today about why the Vikings have so few plays. They've run the fewest offensive plays in the entire NFL. And part of that is the last 2 weeks, the Lions and Rams had long extended drives. They ran the football well against the Vikings. It's also penalties, which some are probably to blame from Sam Darnold, not getting people lined up, false starts, delay of games. But I also think Kevin O'Connell might be responsible for not getting play calls in fast enough. Maybe some details like Jordan Addison not lining up at the line of scrimmage that have been missed a little bit there. But as far as Darnold goes, and this season through seven games, he's 5-2 with 107.2 quarterback rating. There's nothing more you could have asked for him. These last two games needed one defensive stop. That's what they really
–
then they didn't get it.
Yeah.
At the end of the game against Detroit, they needed one defensive stop. He hasn't been perfect, but he's had a really good season. And I also think with those two games, I understand why the reaction is what it is, especially after the Lynx got screwed out of a championship.
Oh,
and then the next day, then you lose the game and then against the Rams, there's the face mask, and then Darisaw is hurt. And I could see where the anxiousness and frustration would grow from Vikings fans. But 5-2 going into tonight, quarterback play has been really good. If they fix some things on defense, you're still on track if you get a win tonight. They lose tonight. It's going to be a little harder to argue that they're still one of the better teams in the NFC.
So let's say Sam Darnold continues his play throughout the season and plays well, and he's on a one-year contract. The free agency market for quarterbacks next year is not great. He will likely be up near the top of the class, I think, in my mind.
Oh, yeah.
If you're the Vikings, what do you do? And if you're Sam Darnold, what do you do? Because this is a real – I think this is going to become a bigger issue. Does Sam Darnold want to go somewhere? Does he want to be a starter? Because he's not going to be a starter next year, the entire season, maybe unless J.J. McCarthy is hurt. Do you sign a deal here, maybe take less money, or do you go elsewhere to take more money, but you probably don't have the team around you that might win you a Super Bowl, I think, like they have here?
So the Sam Darnold thing, if he goes to the Super Bowl and wins it, then they have to keep him.
They have to keep him. Yeah, right. Of course.
Maybe that's even true for the NFC Championship. Like, how far does he have to get in order for him to stay the quarterback? If they lose in the first round of the playoffs and they finish with 10 or 11 wins, then they will let him hit free agency and J.J. McCarthy will be the quarterback going forward. I also think if you're the Vikings organization and Kevin O'Connell and you look at what you've done for Sam Darnold's career based on where he was before – his current quarterback rating is about 40 points higher than it was in the rest of his career. Yeah, is that right? 30 points, 40 points higher. He's been way better.
Yeah.
You've got to think that someone as talented as McCarthy can be placed into this environment with Jefferson, with TJ Hockenson, with the coaching, that he will also have a chance to succeed. The other thing is, too, they got enough of a sample size of McCarthy to see just how good he is. And he's probably a better quarterback than Sam Darnold. That doesn't mean he's going to play as well as Darnold has played right now, 7 years into his career. But as far as reading the field, getting the ball out, being more of a playmaker, like those things McCarthy is really good at. And I think his work ethic also pointed toward I can be a franchise quarterback. So I don't see much that deviates them from the plan of letting Sam Darnold hit free agency. He'll sign with the Raiders or something, and he'll have earned the contract, but it's going to be a tougher road for him wherever he goes because he's not going to have the best receiver in football. I just don't see many scenarios where he's back playing quarterback for this team next year.
Wouldn't you even consider just giving him a – and I'm not lowball, but, I mean, if the guy wants to – at this point in his career, he's made his money. He's probably got a better chance to win here than if he goes, let's say, to the Raiders or something, as you say. Don't you consider if you're Darnold's camp going, listen, man, what do you want? You want cash or you want to win?
Yeah, but I think the Vikings aren't going to necessarily want him back because they want to turn things over to McCarthy.
And right away.
Next year. Yeah. McCarthy will be their starting quarterback almost under any scenario. Now again, if they
go to the Super Bowl,
they win the Super Bowl. But think about this. This is not unprecedented. Alex Smith in Kansas City, they went to the playoffs, and Alex Smith actually led the league in quarterback rating. And then they turned it over to Patrick Mahomes. I think that they're thinking along those same lines of have a winning season, have a good environment to put him into, and then go to McCarthy. But if you're Darnold, yes, he has made a good amount of money. But think about this. Baker Mayfield got a $100 million contract for 1 year.
Josh loves Baker Mayfield.
For 1 year. I know he does. But for 1 year in Tampa Bay, where he went 9-8. This is the state of quarterback play.
Yeah.
There are so many bad quarterbacks.
Marcus garbage.
Right. So if you have proven that you can take a team to the playoffs under the right circumstance, exactly. There will be 5 to 7 teams that want to give Sam Darnold $40 million next year if he continues to play this well.
So what you're saying is that J.J. McCarthy then is the next Patrick Mahomes.
That's what I just said. Yeah. It is locked in. He is the next GOAT.
All right. Well, Let's take a quick break and step aside. Matt, have you ever been yelled at or have been physically accosted by an athlete in a locker room?
Yeah, I've had conflict, I would say.
I have too. Let's chat about it next amongst the current landscape happening out in Philadelphia. We'll talk about that coming up next. Is that because it feels like we're in Seattle with all the rain we're getting?
Sure.
I am not a Nirvana fan. I had this conversation with my son yesterday.
All right, I'm going to turn the mic off.
I just don't. I don't like the music. Are you a Nirvana guy?
So I have played the guitar since I was
I could tell,
13 you were, years old.
You were just playing it right there.
And the first song I ever learned was Smells Like Teen Spirit. So
that's a tough one to learn.
It's not.
No.
So that's the thing about Nirvana that was really fun. That was really useful
yeah.
is that their songs are so easy to play that you can learn how to play guitar by emulating Kurt Cobain. So I did listen to a lot of Nirvana, and when I go back and review, I think there's a lot of good stuff there.
Yeah. So last night this actually happened. Joel Embiid, the Philadelphia 76ers, and reporter Marcus Haynes, there was a bit of an interaction. It sounds like it was blown out of proportion, but it wasn't like punches were thrown. But there was an exchange between the two of them because Embiid, who, by the way, has not played yet this year, and Philadelphia is having a horrible start to the season. So there was a shove. He shoved the reporter, apparently, and told him, and he said, you can say I suck. You can say whatever you want about me as a player, but don't ever put my dead brother's name in your mouth, is what what they described this to journalists. And this dates back to an article written this week by Marcus Haynes, who said, and I quote, Joel Embiid consistently points to the birth of his son Arthur as a major inflection point in his basketball career. He often says that he wants to be great, to leave a legacy for the boy named after his little brother, who tragically died in an automobile accident when Embiid was in his first year as the 76ers. He went on, well, in order to be great at your job, you must first have to show up for work. Embiid has now been great at just the opposite. Now in his 11th season, he consistently has been in poor condition. This poor conditioning apparently seems to have delayed his debut this season. I ask you, Matthew, before we talk about if we've ever had instances, because I have. In my mind, I actually think this reporter's out of line.
Yeah.
I really do. I think, and is he right to shove him? I don't know. But if you're going to say, and I'll give the reporter credit. We've all talked about this. If you're going to write that and you're going to say those things, you better show up in the locker room and back it up. You know, don't be a keyboard warrior. Don't be a TV warrior. If you're going to say it, go back it up. And he was there. I don't think as you write this article and take this narrative that he has not played enough, I don't think that that's a pivotal part of the story that you need to include other than to try to get people to have a visceral reaction to this and read it. I think he was wrong. I think this Marcus Haynes was wrong for saying what he said. I don't know if I blame Joel Embiid for shoving the guy because I'd probably be pretty ticked too.
Yeah, well, we need to understand Philadelphia is not like the Twin Cities.
Great
when
point.
It comes to their
yes.
media market. You and I both came from the East,
yep.
and we understand that it is different there.
Yep.
I think the criticism goes much farther and is much harsher. It's not that we don't. It's like not that we don't talk about the things going wrong with the Minnesota teams, but we don't push it as far as they would in the East
right.
to a level of making it that personal. I can't remember any Minnesota athlete that's recently been criticized on a personal level just for their performance. Mm-hmm. Of course, if it's an off-field thing, if it's Jordan Addison being arrested, then okay, well, all bets are off there. But I don't think that you go into someone's family in any sort of sentence when we're talking about a basketball player and the criticism is that he wasn't playing basketball. It really has nothing to do with his family at all. And what is the insinuation there? The insinuation is, I thought you said when you had a son that you cared about basketball now, but you don't, so you lied. That is so unfair to Joel Embiid. And you can criticize the heck out of him for not playing. That is a perfectly fair criticism for saying, dude, I think you're a franchise player, but you're never on the floor. How are you actually a franchise player? That's inbounds. There's inbounds and there's out of bounds. And I think Embiid has every right to be really upset and confrontational with the reporter over that. And as you said, if you're going to write it, then you also have to face the consequences of that as well. And I think that he crossed a line that is totally unnecessary and also loses perspective on what we're talking about here. This isn't a political candidate. This isn't somebody who is you know, I don't know, in a position of power or something. Yeah. This is a basketball player for a basketball team. And I think sometimes we do lose perspective of what we're talking about here because we get so passionate into our jobs and into the sports and everything else.
Who's right, who's wrong here? 651-461-9226. I'd love your takes on the John Schuster Coldwell Banker Hotline. I'll even go this far, Matt, to say I agree with you. This one, it's a non sequitur, right? His son and his brother, who had a horrific accident, have nothing to do with his playing. I would also say that though this narrative is legitimate, I don't think it's legitimate after five games.
No.
In the past, fine, but you've only played five games.
Yep.
And you're going to torch him already?
There's another part of this, too, that I think about even when we're here, is how sometimes we blame the good players because that moves the needle.
Yes.
So just for example, it always blew my mind that when I moved here and I was like, yeah, man, I was telling people in the media and stuff like, oh, I've paid attention to the Twins for a long time. They were where I came from, the AAA affiliate. And I was like, man, I love Joe Mauer. And I would get, well, you know, he's paid too much and bilateral. And I was like, you guys are crazy.
Yep.
You guys are crazy. But sometimes locally, we can kind of get bored with someone's greatness. It was almost like with Jefferson and his contract, where people started saying, well, just trade him if he wants any money. Yeah. Like, okay, let's keep some perspective here. This is Justin Jefferson. This is Joel Embiid, MVP candidate who has made your team relevant championship contender every year that he's here. And you are just assaulting the
person. And it's five games.
After five games, it just doesn't. But that's what takes on the star player, what moved the needle.
Yeah.
And oftentimes it ends up being over the top in terms of the criticism of the star players when that's not the reason that they're not good. They should be able to survive five games. And I would much rather not have Embiid for the first 20 games.
Yes.
Because if you can make the playoffs with him, he can give you a chance to go deep in the playoffs.
I don't know this reporter, Marcus Haynes, is that what it is? I don't know him. My guess, though, is he probably doesn't mind all this attention today because everyone's talking about him and but the article's getting lots of clicks. Maybe, maybe not. I agree with you. I think it's out of bounds. I think Embiid's reaction is, you know, we're not talking about Ryan Leaf, you know, going after a reporter. That was a different story. Have you ever had, I know you haven't had a physical altercation, or at least I don't think you have. Have you ever had a moment where either you wrote something that someone didn't like or asked a line of questioning that ended up when you were like, uh-oh, this isn't going the way I wanted to?
I did, yeah. Early in my career when I was covering the AHL, I asked
Rochester Americans?
Yes, Rochester Americans, yep. I asked a player about his lack of physicality and probably in a way that I could have done it differently because people – oftentimes on the outside, well, why aren't you guys really going after this coach or player? Because my job is to get the most information, to get the answer out of the player for what we're looking for, not to start a fight with them.
Yeah.
And that's why I'm there and fans aren't. But so I asked a question that was maybe a little too forward with a player about his lack of physicality, and he got very upset. And he used a word that we don't use in society
very
anymore
good, yeah.
in my direction, but also in the direction of my recorder as well. Uh-huh. And so then I was faced with a conundrum of whether I include that in his quote reaction. So we kind of had a back and forth, and the coach ended up calling me and talking it over and everything else. And I decided not to write the specific word that he said to me. And instead just included what he said in response to my line of questioning, and then just wrote about how this is an issue. And I had also had sources telling me that it was a concern with him, that he wasn't as physical as he should have been. And then it turned out later that there were more problems off the ice with him, and he was traded a couple of weeks later. And this was a big prospect at the time, so it was kind of a big thing. But I decided not to because I kind of didn't want to be the guy who got called this by a hockey player.
Mm-hmm.
I just preferred to kind of stick to the reporting. But If I had written this, it would have been very, very bad for him. I decided it was just better to kind of like,
who were you working for at the time?
I was working for a sports radio station out there. Yeah.
Were you pushed to run it?
No, actually I had a long conversation with my program director and with other people at the station, just about whether we should include that he said this or not. Cause I was conflicted about it. I'm like, he said it. That was his quote. At the same time, he said it while screaming at me angrily. And it wasn't as if he was answering the question. I don't know. I still go back and forth and whether I should have put that or not, because it would have been bad for him. But also I thought, is that what I'm getting at here? I'm trying to find out why the guy hasn't played the way that they expect him to play. I'm not trying to put myself at the center of the story because he called me this word.
Mm. Did he appreciate the fact that you didn't run it? Did it help your relationship, or was it never a thing again?
I don't know. This is mean, but I'm not sure if he's aware enough or smart enough to kind of understand what I saved him from there.
Yeah.
But the next day, I went and covered the game. Like you said, go back to the locker room.
Yep.
After the game, he came up to me. We shook hands. I said, it was a little too much on my part with the question. Mm-hmm. He said, I shouldn't have called you that. And then we never talked again. And he got traded a couple weeks later, and we never talked again. Yep.
Interesting. Interesting. Well, I'm interested to see where this goes. I think we can all agree that this was probably out of bounds and not necessarily for Joel Embiid, because I think it's hard for me to get behind. It's hard for me to tell him that he shouldn't have done that or shouldn't have at least gotten frustrated.
You can't put hands on people.
You can't.
You can't do that.
But again, if you're going to say it, You got to be prepared for the repercussions of it sometimes as well. We'll take a quick break. You're listening to Huddle on A3O WCCO. Sunday Night Football, U.S. Bank Stadium. I do like the night games. You are riffing there, man. You really are you're a rock star.
I can play these songs, yeah.
This one?
Oh, yeah.
I like this one better than Nirvana. I like Sunday Night Football. I don't like Thursday Night Football. Monday night's okay. Sunday Night Football is my favorite. Yeah. I always like Sunday Night Football because it's the weekend. It's a great way to just kind of get into the week. It's always a little more exciting. Sunday Night Football tonight, Vikings, Colts, who you got and why?
I will take the Minnesota Vikings, but not by a lot.
Really?
I think that the Colts have been held back by their young quarterback who's been struggling and now have a veteran who can play better at the football.
Mm-hmm.
They've got a lot of talent. They've got DeForest Buckner, a defensive tackle, is a guy to watch. You can't miss him because he's 6'7". And they've got some decent receivers, a good offensive line. They can run the football well, which has been a big concern for the Vikings these last 2 weeks. I think they've given up 253 yards in the last two games rushing, so that's a problem. I think the under the spotlight is really O'Connell and Flores. How much can you fix that went wrong? You had a week and a half to do it. And even today, the lead up, an extra time for your team to be fully rested, fully prepared, come out and win this one. This is more of it's a good Colts team, but it's not a great Colts team. And the gap between if they win and lose is so
huge.
enormous. Even for the trade deadline, for the rest of the schedule, for how we feel about them. If they go to 6-2, it's all right. Season is on. You're toward the top of the league. You're right with the best teams that are, about that same record. What, Detroit and Kansas City would be the only teams ahead of you if Detroit wins today.
Yeah.
That's a great place to be. If you lose, you're an average team, and you're just kind of in the middle as you usually are. So there's a big feeling difference between this one, but I'll take the Vikings close.
And then every Vikings fan in Minnesota goes, yep, I knew this was going to happen.
Well,
it's always what happens.
Yeah.
Get off to a good start, then we suck.
How frustrating. When did you realize that they do that? You moved here in 07?
07.
I moved here in 16.
Yeah.
When did you realize that every single thing that happens, the entire fan reaction is, this is what always happens to us because we're Minnesota Vikings?
I think.
That was pretty good.
That's exactly what I hear every Vikings fan of mine. I want to say it was probably the year before Brett Favre got here. So was that 8 or 9?
08, yeah.
08.
Got here in 09.
Tavares Jackson, God rest his soul. Gus Frerot. Everything.
The interception in the playoffs.
Yes.
Yeah.
And probably even more so, I knew it at that point, but then I saw it for real when Favre throws the interception to Tracy Porter.
Yep.
And everyone goes, yep, we're never going to do it. It's never going to happen. It's that. It's Ben Lieber's pass interference call, whatever it was, late that got him, you know, within field goal range. And it never, ever stops. It never stops. And people would say, I remember having conversations with people when whoever went down before Case Keenum took over as starter.
Sam Bradford.
Sam Bradford. I won't say his name anymore.
Yeah.
And everyone's like, oh, this is going to be terrible. Case Keenum had a good year. I'm like, guys, look, Case Keenum's not a bad quarterback. And then, oh, he sucks. It's going to be terrible. Worst ever. So, well, that's when I realized it.
The difficult thing is that you can't argue with it because they're right so far. They've got all the evidence.
All the evidence.
Got all the evidence that this won't happen and it's always going to go wrong.
As we were talking about off air, I think I always loved social media after a Vikings loss because people would get so mad at me.
Yeah, oh, at everything.
At me?
At everything,
What did I do?
Yeah.
I can't even throw a football, let alone, you know, like, I watched a lot of football in high school from the bench. You know, I mean, I never played. So I also think the Vikings win tonight. I think it's a little bit farther than that, and I'm knocking on wood here. I think T.J. Hockenson is the X factor.
Yeah.
I think having him back is going to be a huge difference, and it's – I don't call it a must win, but you're right. Like, it's a huge difference if they don't win this game because now everything just changes. The outlook changes. And I think you're right. They're a subpar team. And then, frankly, they're back to where everybody thought they were going to be this year, which is
better than everybody thought they were going
to
be.
Well, if they go back down
Saying. No, yeah. You're right. Yeah. As of this moment, they're way better.
All right. Thanks for coming in, buddy.
Oh, yes.
Where can everybody read your stuff, sir?
PurpleInsider.com. It houses everything there.
It's amazing. I'm there regularly. I do enjoy it.
Odyssey celebrates Veterans Day, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
You got to take a listen to this. It's Squawk Pod.
That's right. CNBC's flagship business news show is a podcast, Squawk Pod.
This is CNBC Control 2.
It is not just the show, folks.
It might be even better because it's only audio.
Join me, Katie Kramer, as I take you inside the Squawk Box control room and beyond the headlines of our TV broadcast with Joe Kernan, Becky Quick, and Andrew Ross Sorkin every weekday.
Roll alpha.
Listen to CNBC's Squawk Pod free on the Odyssey app.
Thanks for coming in.
Thank you.
Josh, thanks as always. We'll see everybody next week.
Odyssey celebrates Veterans Day, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
This is the secret story of a young Russian oligarch who hacked his way to a $93 million fortune. I'm CNBC senior Washington correspondent Eamon Javers. In our new podcast, The Crimes of Putin's Traitor, I'll take you inside a shocking Russian crime targeting the American financial system. Attacks that sources tell me were welcomed by Vladimir Putin's government. Listen to CNBC's The Crimes of Putin's Traitor free on the Odyssey app.